This time on episode 171 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the episode No Regrets. We're going to be running down the weekly Marvel news and your feedback.
I'm Adam from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Jeffrey Mace. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show's recorded on Wednesday, April 19th, 2017. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and let's face it, the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because nevertheless, Sky persisted.
If you'd like to talk to us about Sky persisting, you can check out our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to call us and talk to us about Sky, you can call us on our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1, 844-843-2871.
If you'd like to comment on our Facebook page, we have a Facebook page at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can hit us up on Twitter where we're at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you want to comment on our YouTube video, you can go to youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network. So, this episode, No Regrets, directed by Eric Laniville. I'm like 90% sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, and I'm very sorry if I don't. This is his first episode directing of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he has a really, really long resume going all the way back to 1986 as a director. He's done 19 episodes of Saint Elsewhere back in the day. He's done 6 episodes of Doogie Howser, which I used to watch when I was a tiny child. He did, what else? There's so much here. LA Confidential, the TV movie version. America's Prince, the John F. Kennedy Jr. story, the TV movie version. My Wife and Kids, 7 episodes of that. Gilmore Girls, 1 episode of that. Monk, 1 episode of that. 3 episodes of Everybody Hates Chris. 1 episode of Moonlight. 5 episodes of Lost. 1 episode of Heroes, but I think it was after I'd stopped watching. Sorry. 1 episode of Warehouse 13. 15 episodes of The Ghost Whisperer. The credits just go on and on and on. Of interest to this crowd, maybe, 1 episode of Legends of Tomorrow and 7 episodes of Grimm.
Yeah, and let's not forget 2 episodes of Head of the Class. My future's so bright, gotta wear some shades.
That's the second time I've heard that quote today.
And let's not forget, he also has 47 acting credits.
I didn't even see those.
Yeah, so the guy is around. Fortunately, this is his first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so we haven't seen him over here on the Marvel side. But as Lauren alluded to, we have seen him over on the DC side with Legends of Tomorrow and the Sci-Fi Channel with a few other shows as well. So who actually wrote this episode, Haley?
This episode was written by Paul Zbyszewski, and Lauren told me that's the right way to pronounce it. He has writing and producing credits going back to 2001. He's written 10 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., including The Laws of Inferno Dynamics, Parting Shot, Devils You Know. He also wrote for Marvel's Most Wanted, RIP, The List, Hawaii Five-O, Lost, and Daybreak. And he was a producer for Daybreak, Lost, Hawaii Five-O, The List, Marvel's Most Wanted, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Also, some writing credits for Weakest Link. So, there's that.
In the chat, Johnny R. says, sci-fi is still dead to me since killing off Defiance. I gotta say, if you haven't picked up The Expanse yet, it is amazing, isn't it, Lauren?
It really is. In fact, the season finale is tonight. And I'll be watching it after we're done recording because it is, it's so good. It's, oh, you guys, if you're not, please watch it. If you're not, it needs the ratings. If you miss Battlestar Galactica, check it out. It's based on the book series by James S.A. Corey, which is the pen name for these two authors co-writing together, one of which is George R.R. Martin's protege. And, oh, it's just, it's, I'm reading the book slower than I'd like because I'm busy with work stuff. But, oh, it's so good. And there's space and the people and the politics and the actors who are in it are so fantastic. Oh, guys, just watch it. And the thing that should happen tonight that I've been spoiled on, but that's okay because I don't mind spoilers. I'm really looking forward to it. So,
see, I'm a couple episodes behind because I couldn't catch up on my TV this weekend because I was at my parents' house. So
I'm up to episode 5 of season 2, which is actually a miracle considering where I started from. But it is amazing. I can't, it could definitely be the best sci-fi I've ever seen on TV. So if you're a sci-fi fan, you need to check it out. And if you watch from season 1, I would go through the 4th episode, CCQ. If you can make it there, you will catch on to the series and you won't let go. It is that good, folks. So let's get into what we're here for about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode No Regrets. And the first thing that we got to talk about is Trip. Trip's back.
I was so happy when I was watching the thing. Right before that, on Twitter, you know, I do the live tweets, and Brett Dalton had tweeted, hey, look who I ran into it. No, I'm sorry, it was BJ Britt, who we follow on the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. account, had tweeted, hey, look who I ran into at this movie premiere. And it's a picture of Brett Dalton and Simon Cassavetes, who played Bakshi. And it's like, oh, wow, good times, you know, memories from back in the day. And then not 3 minutes later, Trip shows up. And I just kind of started squealing and got really emotional. And I'm just so happy to see Trip again. You know, sometimes it feels like the show forgot about him because they never mention him. And it feels like he's like the forgotten team member. And then he shows up again. And it's just, I loved him so much when he was part of the team. And I'm just so happy to have him back. And then the good thing about the framework is you have all these actors that used to be part of the show coming back. And it's like this happy reunion in this terrible place.
They can't bring back Lincoln, though, because they'd have to bring back the terrible beard the actor's sporting now, and that would just be bad for everybody.
They've gone quite extensively the last 2 episodes into the possibility of Lincoln being around, or actually the last 3 episodes. I don't think we're going to get it. He's got enough name drops, though, that he is squarely in the mind of Daisy, because this is something that Daisy would really want. And Ada is flaunting it and just Daisy's not biting it. Daisy's like Simmons. They understand that nothing in this universe happens is real and they just need to get out of it with everybody. And unfortunately, we don't.
Yeah. This episode, the real world consequences become very, very real world consequences because Mace. Let's talk about Mace. So how many of you feel personally victimized by this episode? Raise your hand.
You kind of knew it was coming when it went into his history right off the bat in the first part of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, bringing up that Simmons doesn't know him. Like, they might work together, but she doesn't know him at all.
What were we just talking about? Like, I feel like just a few weeks ago, whenever somebody gets backstory, they're going to die.
Right. You develop this character who's just kind of been a plot device up to this point, all in one episode. Bad things. Bad, bad things. I've watched enough CW to know what's up.
And even though this isn't CW, this is pretty much the formula that they've been using. And yeah, Mace, we get a lot of into Mace. He's not married. He doesn't have kids. He likes barbecue sweet and not spicy. So he's a man after my own taste. He is
plays guitar and he played baseball in college. He's the son of a plumber. He's from Brooklyn, just like Cap. So we get all this great stuff, including the fact it. So I guess he's not like me. He calls it soda, not pop.
It's soda, damn it.
So we get all this and then boom, he's dead by the end of the episode. But at least he goes out a hero. You have to admit, if he's going to go out, going out a hero versus the sham that he felt before, is he would probably want this. I mean, he'd probably still want to be alive. But if he's going to go out, this was a great way to go out.
Yeah. We see, I guess here he really isn't inhuman.
Right. I assume that was his one regret, is that he wasn't a real hero, that he was just playing one. So in this world, he is a real hero.
Yeah. And it's just so sad because, well, first of all, I mean, SP, you're going to have to change the intro again, I guess. You just realized that, didn't you?
I did. I was thinking about that a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, okay, well, let's keep the intro the way it is. It says Director Mace, by the way, for those that don't want to go back to the beginning. And yeah, I think I'm going to have to go back to Director Coulson now. Yeah.
Well, no, since we're Legends of Hydra now, you could change it to Madam Hydra.
Yeah, but she'll probably be dead in a few episodes too, so.
Right, but not until the end of the season.
Okay, Haley, let's talk about the time turnaround it takes me to do just about anything. Yeah, she'll be dead by the time I get around to changing it.
But yeah, you know, you have Mace, who, when he first showed up, I didn't like him. And then he grew on me. And then, you know, you have him talking with Simmons, and he finds out about the whole, the team that trusts is a team that triumphs thing, and he's like, ugh. She's like, no, you had that printed on sweaters and on shirts and on mugs, and he's just like, oh my God, that sounds so cheesy. It's kind of our reaction to it, because he's not such an idealist in this world. You know, in this world, everything's just kind of kicked him in the butt, you know?
He's been through it a little bit.
Yeah. And the shiny, the naivety, it wore off of him real quick. And I mean, yeah, he got a hero's death and everything, but I had finally started to like him a while back, and it's just, it's harsh. Marvel, why you gotta do this to me?
It's because it's run by the Wheatons. You know why. They're doing it. They're just doing what they do best. And you are at least interested in the episodes. It's not like The Walking Dead, which to me, they start killing off characters left and right, and you're just expecting it. Here, you're not really expecting it, but at least there's some story and some emotion behind it.
Yeah. I quit watching Walking Dead over the mid-season hiatus because I was like, they're killing characters and it's not really even serving a point. They're just doing it for the shock value of it. And it's not shocking anymore because you do it every single season.
Mm-hmm. I stopped watching when they got to Terminus. So a while ago. But here, it's not for shock value. He's a character who I feel like probably ran his course story-wise. He'd gotten this character arc where he'd gone from, you know, the person that nobody liked to somebody that we actually like because we felt for him. We felt bad that he was here trying to be a hero and just never quite succeeding. We see him finally get to be the hero, and we see his sacrifice hopefully mean something. We do see it mean something because it's part of what brings May back.
Right. Plus, it serves a function as a storytelling device. Like, we had been told that dying in the framework means you die in real life, but now we see it. So we know it's true. It's not some elaborate hoax or plot or anything. It's, you know, we see him die, and then we see that he's dead now in the real world.
This brings up several things that I think we need to talk about for our viewer. So exactly what you said, we've been told that if you die in the framework, in the Matrix, we call it the Matrix. If you die in the Matrix, you die in the real world. We see that happening. Conversely, if you die in the real world, you can still be alive as long as your consciousness is transferred into the Matrix. Why is Ada keeping everybody alive? And is this all true?
I don't know why she's keeping their bodies alive, because it would make a lot more sense if you wanted people in the framework to just kill them. But I have a feeling it has to do with this Project Looking Glass thing.
There's a little bit of that. And there's also, I think, Ada's programming, that she's programmed not to harm personally anything. So I think that's what's holding her back.
Except she killed the doctor.
And Nathanson.
Interesting. You're right. So, okay. we'll have to hang on to figure out why Ada is keeping everybody alive. And it could be the Looking Glass. Who knows? It could be just for her amusement.
Or maybe she just doesn't want to kill people.
I think, SP, you might be onto something with the amusement thing. If it's not for any big plan, I mean, look what people did with her. They shut her off and shoved her in a closet. This is kind of the functional equivalent of that.
And she's ticking them off one at a time. That's interesting. So you started to go before I derailed us into the let's talk about who's alive and who's not in the real world and in the Matrix. You started talking about Fitz, or you started talking about May and May turning around because she saw the kids. And then she, at the end in the stinger for the episode, she decides to give Daisy her powers back. But there's this whole thing about her juicing during the episode as well. And I think it's a formula we're all very aware of.
Yeah, I mean, they start listing off the ingredients. Once they get to the hint of peppermint, I think we all knew. I think we all knew it was May hiding it up a little bit.
There are Easter eggs all over the place in these episodes. So, yeah, we had the formula for Daisy's dad. We had the Coulson calling Ward creepy and gives him hives. So we had that.
We find out that Bakshi is still alive and has his own news station. And so not only do we hear him doing the comply thing with the kids in their re-education center or whatever they're calling it, but in the preview for the next episode, we actually see him on a screen as a newscaster or talking head or whatever he is. So again, it's like all the old faces coming back. We see Whitehall in newspaper.
I wonder if we might see Skye's parents again.
Somebody, I think it was Adana Girl, brought up, do you think we'll see Hunter and Mockingbird?
That would be awesome. I was thinking about that today, too. Seeing Mockingbird again. And you can't have Mockingbird without Hunter. You need to bring him back. So that would be awesome to see him again. Do you get the feeling that they are definitely setting this up for the end of the series right now?
I think they're going to end it in a way that it could be the end of the series, because I think they probably knew early on in the season that that was a distinct possibility.
Yeah, so either send it out really well or maybe renew interest by telling just a really good story and then just keep going. So either way, it works out really well for us.
So Johnny R. in the chat, by the way, said, can we please remove all mint from Lab Rat's residence? So I think there's a thought out there that Lab Rat is concocting some solution to enable superpowers. And I think Johnny R. might be on to something. So have we confirmed, Lauren, that all mint is gone from your apartment?
Of course it is.
So, Haley, what's up with Fitz's dad? That was interesting. We see a whole bunch with that. We got to talk about it. Well, what's up with Fitz's dad?
Well, we had speculated that Fitz's father being in his life might be why he is the way he is in this world, and it very much is. His dad's a total D-bag, and he raised his son to be one as well. And that's why he's like this, you know, brought up with, like, you know, no weakness, don't show any sort of sympathy or empathy or kindness. That's how you raise a Nazi, and good job, Dad.
Lessons in How to Raise a Nazi by Haley.
Yeah, speaking of which, this episode was not messing around with its kind of call out at, you know, some current events. There was the whole Fitz saying, nevertheless, she persisted in response to Skye's interrogation. There was Coulson and Mac and all them looking through the textbook and seeing all the stuff that had been removed, whether it was history or science. That's currently an issue right now, and I live in a state where that is a huge, huge issue. In fact, friends of mine have gone to talk to the State Board of Education about it.
This is not just an issue with the United States. I mean, we've known, just for historical purposes, from World War II perspective, the Japanese, they get 3 pages in their history books. That's it. I think it's a little bit more into their history than that.
Yeah, it's classic. You know, the easiest way to control a population is to control what they learn. And we see Hydra going full on with that here. In fact, I'm trying to remember what they called it. It's not, they didn't call it like the Re-Education Center, but it was some like 1984 Ministry of Love sounding name for it, to where they were sending the prisoners and the kids, where they found a trip where Coulson, as Flugelman, went and saw one of his students, the one that got taken away when we first saw him.
Branding is everything.
Yeah, he went to go rescue these kids and saw them in a very, you know, Clockwork Orange-esque setting with their eyes just taped open. By the way, that's not good for you.
So you've tried it?
No.
Blinking is important.
I used to work at a veterinary clinic. Normally, when you have surgery, you know, they tape your eyes closed because you just kind of do this when you're unconscious. But with animals, what they do is there's this little goop that they put in their eyes to keep them from drying out. Like Clockwork Orange, it's like the really famous scene where he's watching the movie and there's people just keep putting the drops in the eyes. That's what you need to do because you need to blink.
Yeah, you do.
Didn't that actor end up with damage to his eyes from that scene?
I think I remember hearing something about that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
I did not know that. I had laser eye surgery, about 15 years ago now. Don't let the glasses fool you. I had perfect vision for a while. And I didn't have the gentle, kindly LASIK. I actually had PRK. And I will save we've gone into it in depth before. I will save everybody from that. But part of the recovery process is actually that you have to put goop in your eyes and you have to blink to start smoothing over that new surface that's created with the skin over your eye. Believe it or not, your eye has skin. And blinking actually causes the skin to be polished. And that's actually part of your vision. So from that perspective, you need to blink as well.
Technically, it's not skin. It is an epithelial cell, but it is not skin. Skin is a different type of epithelial surface. So it's your cornea and the other epithelial surface of your eyes. But yeah, there is a, you know, a hard surface there if you've ever poked yourself in the eye, which it really bothers my husband because I can do that. Like,
stop poking yourself in the eye, Lauren. We've covered this before about 100 episodes ago. Stop it. Don't do it.
I used to wear contacts, so I can too.
I bruised my cornea once doing that as a demonstration. It's like, oh, there's this hard thing here. Ah,
of course you did.
Since we're talking about science, let's talk about both Fitz and Simmons. They both insist separately on being called doctor.
At one point, they both say the exact same thing. I don't remember what it was, but I remember thinking, oh, that's creepy, like about how to refer to them.
Yeah, it was call me doctor. Yeah, that's what it was.
Of course, yeah, Fitz, it's creepy. Simmons, she's insisting on respect from
the Patriot.
Yeah, Patriot. Yeah, Mace. So yeah, it's again, these two, they're so similar. And right here, they're just so different. And I just want to cry thinking about them.
Okay, so let's talk about something philosophical at the moment. Dr. Betty, by the way, we know it's Dr. Radcliffe, but we call him Dr. Betty because of his work.
I forget sometimes.
Yeah. We have to tell our listeners that might be checking us out for the first time. Dr. Batty is what we call Dr. Radcliffe because of his time on a little show that Lauren and Haley know well.
Yes, he was a character named Battiatus on Spartacus.
So he goes into his philosophy, basically, that one sentence, just one sentence, not one regret, not one thing in your life, just one sentence can change everything. What do you think about that, Haley?
It hurts. Okay, so the Doctor Who came back this weekend, everybody. And if you'd like to hear about that, you should check out Gallifrey Public Radio, where Keir, Jay, and I discussed the new episode. But, you know, it was talking about time and how, you know, one moment can change the course of your life forever. And this very similar theme, you know, one sentence can change everything. So, yeah, these little changes that she made to their lives, you know, that one regret she changed, resulted in completely different people in a completely different world. And it took away our poor Fitz.
Yep. And it's sad because I bet you anything, you can look back through your own life and pinpoint like that one, like one moment and think, oh, find that one sentence that, you know, just stuck with you and think if I had heard that differently or if they hadn't said that or if somebody had said something at that point, things could have been completely different. I know thinking back on it, there's at least three different points where I can, you know, find, oh, things would have gone so different if X had or hadn't said that, you know?
I was listening to it going, wow, it's true. Like every decision you make, but if you say one word in some particular instances, it could change the outcome of a lot. And it was deep, but it was true. And Ada was backing up from that. And she said, I only changed one regret. That's all I changed. Everything else is from that. And Batty confirmed it. He's like, yeah, that is what happens. You change one thing, one sentence, and everything else can change, which gets us back. We were talking about it last week. I want to continue this discussion. Can Fitz be redeemed? And I'm looking at it going, okay, it was just one thing, his dad coming back into his life, but oh my God, he's taken it and run. Now they did pull back from it. The writers of the episode pulled back from that. And he's having regrets, but he still did it. And I still am uncomfortable with where Fitz is right now. Am I alone in that?
You are absolutely not alone in that. When he's talking with his dad and saying, I'm wondering if I did the right thing, you know, we see just that little hint of our Fitz. And then his dad's like, no, don't question it. And we see how this Fitz could have come to be. If and when they get back to the real world, it's going to be interesting seeing that Fitz integrate and coexist with our Fitz, because our Fitz will now know what he's capable of. And seeing these people who know him and trusted him have to deal with those, you know, that new set of memories as well, it's going to be hard.
It is, especially when you look at the sacrifices of people like Mace. You know, Mace made a big sacrifice. And Coulson, he might have all those regrets, but Coulson has more of a redemption arc going on than Fitz does at the moment, because he's actually fighting for the right things. And I think May started to turn that corner as well. I don't know if Fitz can turn that corner based on what he did. He killed Agnes in cold blood. And that is not sitting, it still does not sit well for me. Even though Agnes is dead in the real world and she was just virtual in the Matrix, I have an issue with that. It's not the Fitz that I want on my team. That's not the Fitz that I've come to know and like. And Simmons, she's got to be the one. If she can forgive him, then I guess maybe, but it's going to be tough. Haley, what do you think?
I think yes, and that might be the story arc for season 5.
We're on 4.
Okay, yeah, for season 5. That might be part of next season's arc, is Fitz finding his way back to who he was, and the group finding their way back to accepting him for who he was, or who he's going to be going forward. But killing Agnes isn't the only thing he's done. Like, we know he's also the one that's in charge of, you know, torturing Inhumans and interrogating spies in their midst and that kind of thing. So he's done a lot of terrible things that he's going to have to deal with going forward.
Yeah.
And while we see Coulson, who, you know, let kids be taken from his classroom, being like, okay, I'm owning up to this, I'm going to go rescue them. We see May, who has also been responsible for a bunch of stuff through her own guilt, realize, I am not working for the good guys, because they're willing to kill a bunch of kids. And she's still, I mean, for all that she's done, she still has a soft spot for kids. You know, these kids who just haven't done anything wrong.
That's another thing. Fitz was the one who ordered that, by the way.
Exactly. And we see May turning from that. And we, you know, Coulson tells her, snap out of it, May. And between that, between seeing Mace, between seeing the kids, we get a glimpse of the May that we know when she comes and talks to Skye and brings the Terrigen Crystal. And with Fitz, I mean, we already had Simmons. No, we haven't. Yeah, we had Simmons. Wait, has Simmons talked to him?
Simmons talked to who, Fitz?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, she yelled at him over the field when he killed Agnes, but no, they haven't talked.
Whatever snaps Fitz out of it, it's going to have to be something huge. It's going to be have to be something to touch him, just like really deep down in the core of him, like the actual real Fitz. And I think it's going to be Simmons. Something's going to happen to bring Fitz and Simmons together. Either he's going to have to accept that, or they're going to have to leave him behind and kill him.
Very interesting indeed. Now, Stephen Jondra in the chat, a little known person that we barely recognize from time to time. Anyway, he has some interesting points. He said, May, Coulson killed Ward in cold blood, and this was before Ward was hype. We forgot, we moved on. He goes on to say, the Fitz line is not a hard thing to move past. We've seen this sort of, quote, doing bad things because we weren't ourselves, unquote, things in 100 different sci-fi shows before. Picard killed people as Locutus. We moved on.
Yeah, but at the same time, those, like the Picard thing, watching Next Generation, that was still in kind of the day when sci-fi shows, most shows really were episodic. There wasn't really huge overarching stuff. Like every now and then a writer could come back and touch on it, but it wasn't really the same as like the big, basically kind of novel in TV form that we have now.
The consequences ended at the end of the episode.
Yeah. And I mean, I know they didn't because, you know, then you have, you know, the movie bringing up the whole Borg-Picard thing and, but it's still kind of more of a recent thing. Like, I know it's not a complete recent thing. Like, go back and look at The Prisoner. You know, that was in the 60s. But I've seen a lot of people, you know, assigning the blame, if you will, to, like, Babylon 5, where J. Michael Straczynski wrote, essentially, like, a big overarching thing for it. And this is kind of what we expect from TV shows now. And it's not going to be a thing, I think, where people just kind of forget and move on.
And Stephen points out, I just want to end this before we move on. Stephen pointed out, here's the thing, though. Has he really killed anybody? Has Fitz really killed anybody? And no, he hasn't really killed anybody except for maybe Agnes, right?
If Ada has been completely honest with us and dying in the Matrix, in the framework, really does kill you, there's nothing left, then yes, Agnes is really dead.
Steven in the chat put in, if Ward died in the next episode, would we be sad? Yes, we would, because Brett Dalton is actually a force on the screen that I want to see. But no, I wouldn't cry if Ward died personally. It would just be sad for Brett Dalton because we have him back for this very special little line of episodes. And that's it.
Thinking about it, you go back to Doctor Strange, and the only person in the movie that Doctor Strange killed was a disembodied astral form, which you could argue, if you wanted to take it that way, is a more direct form of killing than killing the body, because you are killing the core of that person. And if you wanted to do the whole mind equals soul thing, then yeah, Fitz did kill somebody and killed her kind of more directly than killing her body, because he completely erased the last spark of her being from the world.
You know, we'll have to pick this up next week because we're running short on time, but I just want to throw it out to the listener. Listener, what do you think about Fitz, his redemption arc, what's happened in the Matrix, or the framework, if you prefer? What is real? What is not? Is killing somebody that's been digitized really killing them? We really would like to know your thoughts. And you can tweet us at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You can catch our voicemail line at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. Or you can catch the ladies on the Facebook page because, well, Facebook doesn't like the SP.
Somebody got kicked off Facebook.
Yeah. I've been kicked out of better joints than Facebook. So let's move on to the last thing of the episode. Daisy, she finds the back door. She transforms. Lauren, what do you got about this?
I hope she tears the place down. I hope that they bust out of there. Just kind of tear down the whole world before they go, just to spite it.
Oh, it wouldn't be the first time the Triskelion has fallen.
Exactly. I hope we get to see that again. I don't care if it's just reused, you know, Winter Soldier footage, but with like the Hydra logo pasted on in Photoshop.
I hope they crash another helicarrier. That would be great.
That'd be fun.
They lift off one of the helicarriers that are in the lagoon there.
I love watching those things fall from the sky. It's what they do best.
I gotta admit, it's a thing. I got it.
You've read a few comics now. You know it's a thing.
Yeah. SP, I think that your theory about what the back door is correct.
Yeah. So during the episode last night, I'm watching it live, which I don't often get the chance to do, but I'm actually watching it live. And in the middle of it, I see Simmons paging through a book, right? And instantly it comes to me. We haven't seen the Darkhold at all in the Matrix. It's been an integral part of the season so far of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. through the previous two pods, because that's what they're calling them, right? Pods of episodes. And we haven't seen it yet. I think the Darkhold is the back door out of the Matrix.
I buy that.
Yep.
So we'll see if I'm right or not. It's just a theory, but it could very well work out. So if you have a theory on what the back door is, please get a hold of us by the means I just talked about, except for Facebook. Well, I guess you can in Facebook. I'm just not there because I got thrown out.
I've got a theory.
Yes, ma'am.
That it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there.
I've got a theory. It could be bunnies.
I've got a theory. Some kid is dreaming and we're all stuck inside his wacky Broadway nightmare.
Lots of theories that could happen.
Could be witches. Some evil witches. Which is ridiculous because witches, they were persecuted, wicked and loved the earth and women power, and I'll be over here.
Alia's on it again. So Lauren, any last things about the episode?
Yeah, just every single episode of this half season has been just absolutely amazing. I've been having fun with the show just all the way through, but with this whole framework thing, it's okay. I'm going to say this, and this is, take this from me, a fanfiction reader and writer. This feels like an alternate universe fanfiction in all the best ways. Like, it's a horrible dystopian AU alternate universe, and it's just the writers like exploring what could have been and these characters in other situations. And when I say I like fan fiction, it's like point at this group of episodes, and this is why. I mean, minus the boning, but...
Yeah, there's not as much shipping as you would see in normal fanfic.
There is significantly less boning going on.
Yeah, it's specifically the boning.
Yes.
So, Haley, besides the boning, what else do you have to say about the episode?
Something we didn't really talk about was Mac and his daughter. And at some point, somebody's going to have to tell Mac that he's going to leave this world and go back to a world where his daughter doesn't exist. And I don't want to be the one to tell him.
Will they keep the memories, though, of what's happened here?
Yeah. So he'll remember a life he could have had with his daughter and then go back to the life without her.
So it's like Picard in Inner Light, which escapes you because you haven't seen The Next Generation. It was one of the best episodes in The Next Generation where Picard gets stuck in this alternate universe and he has his entire life and an entire family and he plays his flute. That's where Picard's flute comes from, by the way, is Inner Light. So I know you know about the flute, Haley, but there you go. So it's like that. Sorry, you used a reference you don't understand.
Or like in the Rick and Morty episode, Roy, the game where it's like you play a person's life and it's like you get points by what the life is, except this is terrible. Yeah. Everyone should watch Rick and Morty.
Haley, any last things?
I think that's it.
Okay. Next time, next week, Haley will have a whole new crew with her as she discusses Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 19, All the Madams. Madams?
All the Madam.
Madam. All the Madams men. And she will have a new crew because I will be on travel. I will not be home. And Lauren has a special activity going on, so we will not be here next. We'll be on assignment, basically, next week, and Haley will have the helm, so.
Also, All the Madam's Men sounds like a horrible video that you should not Google.
See, I was going to say it sounds like a brothel.
Like an S&M brothel.
I was just going to say, it's Legends of Hydra, Haley's in charge, it's bound to have some tipsy turns, so we'll see what happens with that. In the meantime, let's talk about some news.
All right. First up, some news on the Netflix series. We had talked a little bit before about how we know the Punisher is coming. And this week we got a few new pictures.
IO9 has the link to the pictures, and it's mostly just John Bernthal looking beat up, but he has the vest with the spray painted skull on it.
And it's been shot a few times.
Yep, looks pretty good. His hair looks weird. Like, it's floppier than usual.
It's a little longer.
It's not what I would do with his hair personally, but no one asked me.
When he was Shane, when the show first started Walking Dead, he had longer hair, but it was curlier than that. It looks like maybe he had a hat on.
Yeah, I guess it could be hat hair. I don't know. It looks weird. I am critiquing the hair. I am so far not a fan of this particular hair. I hope he does something better with it. But hey, otherwise he looks good.
Well, next up is Guardians of the Galaxy. We've been waiting for it. Awesome Mix Volume 2, and this week we got a song list.
Yes, it's out on Friday. I'm going to be getting it. I'm happy. I'm really liking this list. It has Electric Light Orchestra. It has My Sweet Lord by George Harrison. Has Glen Campbell, Fleetwood Mac.
Surrender by Cheap Trick.
Yes, I love that one. Father and Son by Cat Stevens. And then Guardians Inferno by The Sheepers featuring David Hasselhoff.
The Hoff.
It's a big year for The Hoff. He's got Baywatch. He's got this. A lot going on for him.
What's not to like about The Hoff?
That reminds me of Overwatch when there's this one character in it who's German. And when he's talking to this other character who's a DJ, the DJ character is like, got to do something about your music. German character is like, what's wrong with David Hasselhoff?
Well, that's not all we have to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy, is it?
Nope. It seems like some people are starting to see it, and it's good, and it has a bunch of post-credit stuff.
Yeah, the Mary Sue has a collection of tweets of people who went and saw it, those lucky bastards. It has things like, from @slashfilm, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is funnier than the original, a ton of surprises, and an unexpected emotional profoundness. I am Groot. @DanCasey, holy smokes, was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 fun. I had a small plaster on my face nearly the whole time. Tons of Easter eggs, too. @EricDavis said, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is exciting, funny, gorgeous, and a hell of a tearjerker. For many, it will become their new favorite Marvel movie.
I can't wait, because it probably will be mine. And oh, by the way, the Geico commercial with Groot in it, still a great commercial. I've watched it several times in the past week.
It's adorable.
Well, more Marvel movie news. Captain Marvel has directors now. Directors, plural.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. It was just announced today on the 19th of April. Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck will be directing it. I haven't heard of either of them, but they have co-directed a bunch of movies together, like a movie called Half Nelson in 2006 that had Ryan Gosling. They've done episodes for things like The Affair and Billions. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This will be Marvel's, I guess, first time with a female director.
Well, this is interesting that they're doing a co-director, and they obviously have worked together before. Now, a lot of times you'll have your main director and you'll have your second set director and your third team director or whatever, but it looks like this pair actually works together quite a bit.
Well, so does the Russo brothers.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. It's just kind of odd. I guess it's not odd because there's so much going on in a movie these days that if you can work with somebody that you trust, maybe you end up with a better product. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't direct stuff, but I co-write a lot of stuff. And it's nice to have somebody to bounce ideas off of and have just somebody who knows you and knows what your preferences are, stuff like that. And, you know, if it works for you, it works for you. They aren't uncommon, but yeah, you tend to hear more about just like the single big name director.
Yeah.
Unless it's like the Wachowskis.
Yeah. Talking about a single director and writer for not one, but two films, we have an announcement.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3, first of all, booyah. And James Gunn is writing and directing it.
Yeah, I guess a couple weeks, months ago, I can't remember time, there was some question as to whether he would be involved in the third one, if there would be a third one. But on his Facebook page the other day, he made the announcement and said, he was talking about the press leading up to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. But then he said, so yes, I'm returning to write and direct Volume 3. So, yay.
Definitely. Yay. I definitely like the first one. I know I'm going to like the second one. So, there you go. It's not going to be a Batman versus Superman. It's not going to be, and this is for my co-host, Chris, over in the Guinea Geek, #award-winning Suicide Squad. I can't believe that. Marvel needs to pay somebody to overcome that, but it's what it is right now. So, yeah, I can't imagine it being that. I can't wait for it to happen. It's got Groot in it. It's not only got Groot, but it's got baby Groot in it. It's going to be great.
Okay, and keeping on moving through the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Black Panther, apparently we've got some footage available now.
Yeah, on Mashable, The headline is, the women of Black Panther steal the show in first Marvel footage. It's mostly featuring, and I know I'm going to mispronounce this because I pronounce it as the Dora Milaje. It could be Dora Milaje. I don't know. We won't know until the movie comes out. Well, I won't know until the movie comes out. I don't know. But they are the, like, bodyguards to the King of Wakanda. But they're, like, these women warriors who are just awesome. And actually, they've been featured in comics. And they're being played by Florence Kasumba, who you might remember from, you know, the Move or Be Moved lady from Civil War. Lupita Nyong'o and Danny Guerra from Walking Dead. They're going to be playing some of the others. And there was, like, footage of them fighting. There was footage of them presiding over a ceremony to crown T'Challa. And it just sounds so cool, the footage they describe.
All right. Speaking of footage, we know there's a couple shows coming to Freeform. The first being Cloak and Dagger, and we got an official trailer for that.
Have y'all seen it yet?
No.
No, I just learned about it today as we were doing show prep.
I learned 4 seconds ago when I read the headline.
Okay, it dropped earlier this afternoon. I freaked out a little, and then I watched it. It's about a minute, minute and a half long. So it's a nice little introduction to the characters, Tyrone and Tandy, who end up becoming Cloak and Dagger. The trailer itself looks very teen show, teen drama. But then there's the Marvel stuff, like, you know, there's a Roxxon sign and the superpowers kick in, but it looks very like teen romance drama plus action. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to dig it.
Good to know. Can't wait.
And the other show coming to Freeform, New Warriors. We knew Squirrel Girl was going to be on the team, and apparently we've got the rest of the team now, too.
Yes. So IO9 had this article. Oh, I'm so happy. So it's also going to be featuring, other than Squirrel Girl and Tippy Toe, her adorable squirrel with a little pink bow, we are going to have Night Thrasher, who is basically a rich dude with a YouTube channel. Speedball, who is, I suppose, going to be the happy version of himself as opposed to the angsty version after the comics Civil War. Microbe, a shy hypochondriac who's like Aquaman but with germs and diseases, who sounds like it's going to be a favorite character of mine. And Deborah Fields, a telekinetic who was added during the group's 2005 TV show plotline by a producer looking to add drama for the team. There's also going to be Mr. Immortal, a supposedly immortal being who founded the Great Lakes Avengers, which Squirrel Girl was in. So this is going to be interesting. I am really looking forward to this.
Guys, there's so much Marvel stuff happening.
Yeah, it's Squirrel Girl. Of course you're going to enjoy it.
I want to know who they're going to cast. Like, the show's not coming till 2018, but I want the cast list now.
Well, got to audition the actors. You got to get them on contract. Got to pay them stipends.
Just find me the real Squirrel Girl and cast her now. Plus a squirrel.
All right. It's going to be fun.
All right. I guess that's it for the news for the week.
All right, awesome. Let's move on to some feedback.
At Mr. Paracletes on Twitter messaged us with Jessica Jones Season 2 baddie speculation. We're reasonably sure that the bad guy of season one is not coming back. We have not. Did we talk? Yeah, we did talk Jessica Jones. I can't remember time.
Well, it's all timey-wimey stuff. He could come back.
But the hashtag show via MCU Exchange managed to get its hands on 4 character breakdowns. So we're really sure these are alternate names.
Especially Dr. Kirby.
Yeah. You know, they have the breakdown of these people they're casting for, and then they have some speculation. So this Dr. Kirby, they're thinking might be Dr. Carl Malice from the comics. This other character, Presley, might be Paladin, who's technically in Daredevil. But hey, I mean, hashtag it's all connected. There's another character, Oliver, who may be Otis Johnson. I've not really read much about that character, so have to look into that a bit more. But the last one is the one that interests me the most, Ingrid. So what everyone seems to think with this one is that it's Typhoid Mary, who is another Daredevil character, but just is a really interesting character, and I would love to see her in a show. So fingers crossed.
Cool. What else we got for feedback?
At Kodiak GWC retweeted Screen Rant at us and said, "Let's hope." Apparently, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5 renewal reportedly looking good. I'm hoping. Screen Rant says that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will probably receive a Season 5 renewal for fall 2017.
Yeah, but if you read into this article, the last line in the first paragraph, now Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is in its fourth season and the show is arguably the strongest it's ever been. Writing, it might be, with the ratings, definitely not. I mean, I know there was many different people that texted us or tweeted us with the link to that. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is scoring big in the 18 through 49 demographic. Okay, well, your ratings are still barely above a 2 on a network TV show. I don't know about this. I think this might be a little bit of positive PR to hopeful PR. I don't know. What do you ladies think?
From what I understand, most of ABC's other scripted shows aren't doing all that well either.
Right. We've talked about this before.
TV Grim Reaper has it at a 25%. So for what that means.
If it goes, it goes. If it stays, it stays. I'd prefer it to stay because I really like having it on my TV every week. But if it goes, all I ask is that it wraps it up on its own terms and with a good storyline.
Yeah, that's all we can ask for. And I think we're headed that way, especially with all the cameos and the references, as we discussed earlier on in the podcast with this final pod.
We got a tweet from I'm not sure if this is a new listener or just first time tweeter, I'm pretty sure, at Richelmania. Ophelia is Madame Hydra's birth name in the comics, not a Hamlet reference. We did discuss that last week, that she is named after Ophelia Sarkeesian, Madame Hydra / Viper. But given that Ada is also like an opera reference, and Ophelia could be, you know, Marvel likes taking its references from stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me if the writers thought they were being clever and throwing a double reference in there.
I could see that. I mean, that's what this whole pod of episodes is about, is the references. So, yeah.
At Mr. Paraclete said, "More MCU Spidey, always a good decision," which it's very hard to argue with that. But yes, Spider-Man confirmed for Avengers 4.
Awesome. This totally flaunts in the face of that Sony news a couple of months ago. Remember where the former head of Sony Films was saying, this could just be a one-time thing.
Yeah, to be fair, at the time, that former Sony head was not working at Sony at the time she made the comments, because former Sony head, and as just kind of a double, well, if you remember the Sony hacks from, when was it, last year, year before?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever it was. She was one of the ones that took a lot of heat in that. At Adonna Girl retweeted laughingplace.com with the official track listing for Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mix.
Woohoo! Talked about that earlier. Thank you, Christy, for bringing it to our attention.
And we had a couple of people tweet us the Cloak and Dagger first look. Thank you, Mr. Paracletes and Kazi-kun Forever. And Kazi-kun Forever also said, "Really late response, but I got a kick of how SP butchered my username a few weeks ago. Made me laugh."
Yeah, welcome to the podcast, by the way. I butcher everybody's name, including my own sometimes.
It's a rite of passage.
When SP butchers your name, you know that you're part of the crew.
You know that you have a name.
At Kazi-kun Forever also said, "Finally saw the newest episode. Oh man, that was like a mace to my heart. I see what you did there."
Well done, sir. Well done. Hey, by the way, we have a voicemail. And by the way, you can catch us on our voicemail line at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. Are you ladies ready to listen to the voicemail this week?
Ready.
Yes.
This is Adam calling in with feedback on this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, well, wow. I'm not entirely surprised that if anyone was going to die, it would be Mace, since he's not one of the big main characters. But still, kind of sad to see him go. do think it's kind of weird that someone can die in the real world but be fine in the framework, but if they die in the framework, they die in the real world. Doesn't make much sense to me, but I'm not in charge of stuff making sense. Good to see Trip back. I thought that might be the case when they were talking about the old style spy camera that was used, but good to see him. Wow, Fitz was way better off without his dad. Wonder if he was involved in Hydra in the real world or just sort of tagged along in the framework to sort of justify how big of a dick he was. And looks like it's only going to get more intense from here. We'll have to, you know, wait and see how the rest goes. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Adam, language, buddy. Language.
Okay, Adam. All Nazis are dicks, but not all dicks are Nazis, you know? So, you know, his dad might have been a bad guy all on his own.
It's definitely been a emotionally charged pot of episodes that is easily to get into. I mean, it's not like you're like, oh, this could never happen. We know it could never happen because we're in the framework. We're in the Matrix. I think Marvel's done a great job here and toying with our emotions in a way that we can still stay engaged versus something like The Walking Dead, where we're like, yeah, okay, I'm out. So we talked about that earlier. And Adam, thank you very much for your feedback. Really appreciate it. You, sir, are a star. Well, that is all the feedback we have for this week. It's time to walk this one out. Next week, Haley and her band of Madam's Men will be talking about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 19, All the Madam's Men. And Lauren, you've got some appearances in the future. And I was just at Indiana Comic Con, so thank you everybody that came out to see Michelle and I. We had a great time with our podcasting panels, got to see some amazing people, Charlie Cox and Nichelle Nichols. It was a great weekend in Indianapolis. Thank you very much, Indiana Comic Con, for having us there. But Lauren, you are headed out on your own adventures.
Yeah, so I have a con at the end of April. I'm going to be going to Haven Con in Austin. So if you want to see me there, I will be there. And I will be doing Comic Palooza again this year, which just keeps getting more and more amazing guests, including Will Friedle, who you might recognize from Boy Meets World, but also voices Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy, the TV show. And, oh, so many Marvel folk. There is Pom Clementeef. They just announced today she's going to be Mantis in Guardians of the Galaxy. Eldon Henson, Foggy Nelson, John Bernthal from The Punisher, Jessica Henwick, Colleen Wing, Finn Jones, Iron Fist, Mike Coulter, Luke Cage, Charlie Cox was just announced today, Daredevil.
Oh, his panel was great.
Anthony Mackie, Falcon. So they're still announcing guests too. If they can get Kristen Ritter, they will have all four Defenders, and I will be so happy. There's also other guests like Felicia Day, Mary McDonnell, Robert Englund, Jason David Frank. I just saw the Power Rangers movie. Haley, you were right. It's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, just so many like artists and actors and writers, and it's going to be so much fun. And you can find me there, and I know that Eric from Art House Legends is planning to go. So if you want to find us and if you want to see all these awesome guests, you can go there on May 12th through the 14th. So it's going to be a busy couple of weeks.
Just coming up in a couple of weeks, that'll be great. And it's fun to be at a con. I liked Indiana Comic Con for two reasons. One, I didn't realize this, but kids under 12 got in free. There was tons of kids. And then everybody else seemed to be in some sort of cosplay. The cosplay was amazing. It was fantastic. It was very well done. And I applaud everybody who was there. And you get to see that sort of stuff at places like Comic Palooza. So if you want to see Lauren, Eric, and the rest of the guests who Lauren just named off left, right, and backwards, go see that. By the way, Felicia Day, I didn't realize she was in Mystery Science Theater 3000, the 11th season.
Have you seen any of the new episodes yet?
I haven't had a chance yet, no.
I've seen the first episode, Reptilicus, which is the like Danish answer to Godzilla. And it's fun. It has so much of the original feel of the, you know, MST3K from the old days. It's a little bit faster paced, but still good. It's Felicia Day. Just everyone. Oh, so good.
I read a story that said they do somewhere between 600 and 900 riffs per movie. That's a lot.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
All right. So you can always find our live streams at geeks.live. That'll be 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Wednesday nights on geeks.live.
You can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
We have a voicemail line, which I've said about 5 different times in this podcast. So hopefully it becomes ingrained in your brain. That's 844-THE-BUS-1, which, by the way, we didn't talk about it. The bus was actually in this episode. It just wasn't the bus we knew about. By the way, the phone number is 844-843-2871.
We have a Facebook page, which you can find at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast on Facebook.
You can find us on Tumblr or Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Twitter, legendsofshield.tumblr.com on Tumblr.
And our YouTube channel, youtube.com/kindageek. Sorry, guys, we messed that up a little bit tonight, but we'll get better in 2 weeks.
When I fix the thing.
Because Haley will have a whole new crew next week.
Yeah, in the meantime, Haley's going to have just like taken over it and written all sorts of craziness on there.
Until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Madam Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
See you guys next week. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
I'm hanging on with my fingernails this month, ladies. This is tough, because next week I'll be going away, and then I come back and I have like a 2-hour turnaround and I fly out. So it's pretty dicey around here. And I've got a new driver coming on board next month, which means I've got to get the old car fixed, which it is a mess. So the water pump's out on it, and I'm planning on redoing the water pump on Saturday before I leave on Sunday. And I took it by the auto parts store today. Since I'm going to have the serpentine belt off, I'm like, okay, let's just check everything. So they checked the starter, the battery, and the alternator. Everything was good, but the alternator. So got to put an alternator.
Oh, good thing that's a cheap thing to fix.
Well, in that car, everything is cheap, but it's still like $150. So I'm like,
Do alternators actually do anything, or are they just the part that always breaks?
Yes, they charge your battery. They do stuff.
Okay.
You gals hear this?
I heard that.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I'm ready. You ladies ready?
Ready.
Are you recording?
Yep.
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 La 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 la. Do a season one wing. Me, 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 me.
Mama made me mash my M&Ms.
Oh, I did watch Doctor Who, by the way. It was interesting. Mm. How's everybody liking Bill?
Everybody loves Bill. Like, all across the internet. I mean, except for, you know, the people you would expect to hate. Everybody else loves Bill.
I don't hate her. I'm just still used to Clara. I think Clara will end up being my companion, which is really odd because the fourth Doctor is my Doctor. So I don't know how that happened. I guess it just happened.
Yep.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.